our website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues each and every day. It is our prayer today that you'll join in the dialogue and discussion and that you will, in fact, be blessed through the broadcast. We invite you to call in after our brief monologue this morning. We invite you to call in with your dialogue and discussion, asking your questions. We're going to be talking about today, who is a mother? Who is a mother? We live in a world today, ladies and gentlemen, where there's confusion and dialogue and discussion and deception about male and female. Who's a woman? In fact, we even have a Supreme Court justice today, as you know, that under oath from the Senate committee to confirm her, under oath, she admitted that she could not say what a woman is. She said, I'm not a biologist. When they asked, well, what is a woman? She said she could not answer that. And today we have the politically correct pronouns that's being used. We see males that with female pronouns. We see females with male pronouns. In fact, just recently, the wannabe female advertising for Bud Light said to mispronoun a person, it should be a crime, and someone that mispronouns another person should be prosecuted for committed crime. That's what we're finding with the mixed up, messed up society that we're living in today. And so as we talk about who is a mother, we're looking forward to celebrating Mother's Day this Sunday. Mother's Day, by the way, for those who may not know, it was proclaimed Mother's Day, May 9th, 1914, by President Woodrow Wilson. And we've had the privilege of celebrating Mother's Day year after year after year. And as we look forward to the celebration of Mother's Day, we want to talk about who is a mother. And we're talking about, biblically speaking, who is a biblical mother? What does the Bible say about it? We can look through the Bible and find dozens of examples of mothers. We're going to talk about some of those examples of mothers. Some are good mothers, some are bad mothers. We're going to talk about some of those on the broadcast today. So let me remind you, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. And ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues as each and every day, we want to remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We call it the truth book. In John 8:31-32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. In Psalms 117:2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. And may I remind us, as we look at world events, as we analyze what's happening in D.C., as we analyze what's happening in the Middle East, as we analyze what's happening in Ukraine with Russia, as we analyze what is happening in China and the future war to take Taiwan, may I suggest that we look at everything through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. When we analyze the coming of Mother's Day and what it means to be a mother, let's analyze it from a central biblicist worldview, looking at the truth book. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We live in a society today where there's a mindset that there's no absolute truth. 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, think that each person determines their own version of truth. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." So may I challenge each of our listeners today to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and be willing to defend the truth even to death. That's one of the things that in our beltway in Washington and in most political hotbeds, as you want to call it today, especially those that are the blue cities, blue states, and across the nation, they want to diatribe, dialogue, destroy the real essence of truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I encourage us to face the facts with truth and not with error today. This portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the power backup equipment that would be needed. Tools for Time is located at 11291-11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But ladies and gentlemen, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application of employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the home, the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again, lest I forget it, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. I'm here today with Pastor Davis. We're going to talk about who is the mother? Who is the mother? And I think there's a lot to that, but we misunderstand many times what motherhood means and the opportunity to be in a discussion about mothers. I've got a little brief article here that I want to read to set the stage. Most of us have heard the name John Wesley. John Wesley preached 40,000 sermons. John Wesley in his lifetime traveled over 250,000 miles all on horseback. At the age of 83, John Wesley got angry with his doctor because he would not allow him to preach more than 14 times a week. Pastor Davis, what about that? 14 times a week preaching. At the age of 83, Wesley wrote in his diary, quote, "I can't understand why, but there seems to be an increasing desire for me to remain in bed after 5:30 of a morning." Where did John Wesley get this? It was from his mother, Susanna Wesley, that impacted John Wesley's life to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Davis, we want to talk about motherhood today. We want to talk about Mother's Day. We want to talk about what is a mother or who is a mother. And of course, we're going to examine it from a central biblicist worldview. And so thank you for being with us today. Thank you for the privilege we have of talking about Mother's Day and letting our listeners understand and grasp a little better what is it about mothers that we need to recognize. Thank you for being here.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for allowing me to be here on today. And I do thank God for, first of all, allowing us to get together again, amen, on a fantastic, I call it a fasting Friday, mm-hmm. amen, because we used to fast, amen, on Fridays, and then afterwards come together at the church and have a nice prayer service. And afterward, we will sit down and break bread and eat fish.
Amen.
Amen, which is a good Christian fellowship. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for that because we were taught that by the godly mothers that we are going to talk about on today. Mm-hmm. And amen, I thank God for my mother, amen, and for my mother-in-law and for my wife, amen, best mother, amen, that my children can have, amen, my wife of 37 years, good morning to you, and all of my friends and family that are listening on today. We certainly hope and pray that you will be encouraged by some of this that we have to say, amen, because, amen, God honors godly mothers.
Amen.
And it takes, amen, I know we've heard this is just a cliche, amen, and some don't take it to mean a whole lot, but for me, it means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it said, amen, there's a common saying that it takes a village to raise a child, but when you look at that in a good way, you can pull some good thoughts from that. Because me, myself, I can remember growing up, amen, back in the day, I had one natural, real mother that birthed me in the world.
Amen.
But because my mother had various friends that were connected with us and also cousins in the family, every one of them became my mother.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to their houses and different things, and I had friends that I went and played with, and, you know, we just did little things during school and after school. That mother, even though that was my friend's mother, when I went to their house, that mother took care of me like I was her son.
Amen.
So this is the reason why I say I thank God for all of the mothers that have that kind of heart on today. Because even though some, Dr. Youngblood today, have children, we find out that they're still not good mothers.
That's right.
Some of them, amen, will follow the rule that the government has laid down.
Mm-hmm.
Before they could even birth the child in the world, they're ready to abort them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good mother.
No.
So what we want to talk about on today will hopefully give you some insight on what a godly mother is and what God expects,
amen,
out of a good mother.
And Pastor, one of the things that I want to do on the broadcast today is a little unique, and I pray that our listeners will participate. I'd love to have our listeners call in today during the course of this entire broadcast, giving a brief testimony of the influence that your mother has had on your life. A testimony of what your mother means to you. Perhaps your mother's already gone on to be with the Lord. Perhaps you have not been in contact with your mother in quite some time. Perhaps your mother's just a memory because she's no longer alive. But there is certainly an influence she's had on your life. We'd love to hear from you. What about your mother? What do you recall about your mother? What do you recall as being an influence that's caused you to do some of the things that you're doing today? Good, bad, or indifferent? We'd love to hear from you about that.
Amen.
Sunday is Mother's Day. We're looking forward to celebrating Mother's Day. And perhaps your mother is no longer alive. Perhaps your mother's been with the Lord for years and years and years. But may I suggest that we need to recognize the importance of godly mothers in our nation. Many of the serious offenses, ladies and gentlemen, that's being brought about into legal troubles today is sometimes, in fact, oft times, due to the lack of biblical motherhood in our homes. So just what does it mean? Just what does it mean to you to have a godly mother, a biblical mother? What is a godly mother? What is a biblical mother? Pastor, I've just outlined three things very briefly to get us started with our thoughts today about a godly mother. First of all, a godly mother knows God.
Amen.
She has a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. In fact, when you look at, time's not going to let us get into a whole lot of scriptures, but when you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 1, it talks about Eunice, which is young Timothy's mother, and she was a young Jewish woman, but she knew Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
And when you look at the biblical text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it is, 1 Timothy 2, it talks about that biblical mother, Eunice, and he had a biblical grandmother, and it was Eunice's mother that impacted her life, that her life impacted Timothy's life to be what he was as a young preacher boy, if you will.
Amen.
So not only do we see, I'm setting the stage, ladies and gentlemen, for a biblical mother. She knows God, has a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Secondly, she wants her children to be godly. She wants to train them. In fact, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Let me pause there. Not the way he wants to go, but the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not have departed from it.
Amen.
Proverbs 22:6. A godly mother trains that child to be obedient to Jesus Christ. A godly mother will train that child to love the Lord, to surrender at an early age his or her life to Jesus Christ, and to study the Word and to know the Word, and to be the influence on others. Thirdly, a godly mother models her life service to the Lord in her family. It's interesting when you look at Proverbs 31 with what is called a Proverbs 31 mother. In verse 25 and following in Proverbs 31, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her husband, household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It is wonderful to see, in fact, all of chapter 31, I believe there's 31 verses in 31 of Proverbs, it outlines a godly mother.
Amen.
And a godly wife, and that influence that that mother slash wife has on her family and on the families of those that they're in contact with. So, Pastor Davis, share, if you will, please, some of the thoughts you have and some of the things that you have that you want to present about a godly mother and what the Bible says about that. The fourth thing that I find, just as a starter, Pastor, a godly mother will pray with her children and her husband. 1 Timothy 1:5, Timothy's love for the Lord came through his mother's mother and the mother's influence on him, that is on Timothy. Faith is a heritage. Faith is something that a person will have in God, but generally it is a heritage where that child sees the faith in the mother and follows the mother's faith in his or her own life.
Amen.
So share with us some thoughts that you have on that. And then while you're doing that, I want to invite our listeners to call in. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. I want the majority of this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, to be in your hands for you to share with the listeners from your own tongue what your mother has meant in your life. This is a testimonial opportunity for you to call in. You don't have to broadcast your last name, but call in just sharing your testimony of what your mother means to you or has meant to you, how your mother has shaped your life. Pastor, I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you for your radio program, Dr. Youngblood. Really appreciate y'all there and the truth that you speak. My mother was a great, great woman. She was from Polish ancestry, and she was the most loving, caring, nurturing mother a man or a family could ever have. She nurtured and cared for us, and disciplined us when we needed. Specifically, I used to swear because my dad was swearing quite a bit working on the cars, but I picked that up and she put soap in my mouth and told me to stop swearing. So that was pretty funny. Yeah, but we need mothers that are really, nurture and love and care, hold their children, love and care for them, discipline them and show them and teach them the right way, the truth, the right ways of God. My mother's mother was radically saved. She was a Catholic, but she would have us as a family come into the living room and pray the rosary. And we as kids hated that. We didn't want to pray. We resisted that, but they insisted several times, my grandmother. And she was praying all the time and giving charity and everything. She really loved Yeshua, Jesus. And so it was a blessing to have both my mother and my grandmother when I was a child. And really, I remember the loving kindness, the nurturing, the caring, the goodness. My mother was a giver. She was always giving to other people and helping other people out. And I think we need more mothers to stay at home and raise their children. I know there's a lot of career women and women have to go to work, but if at all possible, I really think and believe that women really need to stay at home and raise their children up the right way, the biblical way, and school them and go through and do the homeschooling thing, because the schools are, our society's out of control and there's no fear of God in this society. We need the fear of God to be brought back into this nation once again. And I know there are God-fearing people out there, but we really need to come back and keep and instill the commandments of God and the laws of God in our nation once again with faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, you Jesus. Thank you very much.
Kevin, thank you so much for that testimony. You're spot on to what you're saying. It is the home that's being disintegrated today because of a prosperity mindset that many families think they've got to have every latest technology. They've got to have the latest car, the latest suits, the latest clothes, and some of the best foods. As a result of that, mom and dad both are working. And you're exactly right. The home, I believe, is today disintegrating as a result of the lack of parental influence in the home, the lack of a mother's influence. In fact, it's the mother, it is the wife that will, when the child has a, and I'm going to use this as a personal testimonial, I never will forget learning how to ride a bicycle the first time. Had a bicycle that I was able to sell sunflower seed around the community to buy, to gather up and save $3. Bought a bicycle for $3. That'll tell you how old I am. Bought a bicycle for $3. The handlebars were broken, and I had to save up another $3 to get the handlebars welded back together so that I could ride it. But when I would fall off the bicycle, have a wreck on the bicycle, it was the mother, my mother, that would wipe away the tears. It was my mother that would take away the hurt. It was my mother that would basically bandage me up and pray with me and encourage me. It was my mother that would give words of encouragement anytime. Even when a child comes home with a bad report card, Pastor Davis, usually it's mom that will say words of encouragement. Dad will say, well, you should have made an A. And mom will say, well, that C is okay, and encourage that child to Amen. Do better next time.
Amen.
So it's the mother that encourages the child. It's the mother that usually will read the Bible at bedtime. It's usually the mother that will have the greatest influence on that son or that daughter in the home. So, Kevin, you're exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about motherhood. We're talking about the celebration of Mother's Day. We're asking the question, who is a mother? We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your testimony, brief testimonial, as to what mother has meant to you, what you recall about your mother, what you recall that has made an indelible difference in your life as a result of what your mother said and your mother has done in your life. Pastor Davis, what are your thoughts?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, as you were giving your comments, concerning the mothers, and then the young man called in and he had some great things to say about his mother and his grandmother and, the impact, that they made on his life. I thought about my own mother, how she worked, from sun up to sundown.
Mm-hmm.
And she did everything that she could do to make our house a home.
Yes.
I mean, we didn't have much,
mm-hmm.
but I declare the way that my mother did things, she made you feel like a millionaire.
That's right.
She made you feel like every meal that you ate were the top choice meal.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you might have been eating chicken, but the way that she prepared it, it made it taste like steak.
That's right.
But they always had a spin that they could put on things mm-hmm. to make a positive impact in your life. And this is what I love. And I believe that God, amen, he put mothers here for that reason.
Amen.
As I heard you saying, how your mother did things when you rode the bike and different things like that. It's strange how when you get an injury or a bruise, mother could kiss it and make it all go away. It's something about that,
That's right.
It's something, and I don't want to call it magical because mm-hmm. we're not dealing with magic today.
Right.
We're talking about blessings, mm-hmm.
amen?
It's a blessed situation. I mean, it's really, really nice when you got a mother that knows, that loves, that honors, that reverences, that fears God, one who is walking in his word, one who will speak positive things in your life.
Absolutely.
I know some guys I grew up with that were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They did some terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard their mothers say a negative thing like, you're going to grow up and you're never going to amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful what you're speaking over your child's life.
Right. That puts it in
when
the heart.
When you tell them that they're not going to be anything, then that's probably how they'll end up
that's
because
right.
they don't think anybody loves them or mm-hmm. cares about
mm-hmm.
them. But getting back to how that mother will keep speaking that positive over that child's life, that Proverbs 31 woman is the exact pattern for each and every Christian mother today.
Amen. I call it the Miss Far Above Ruby's mother.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The national treasure mother.
Amen.
And that's the way it ought to be.
Amen. I have seven characteristics that we'll talk about later on.
Sounds good.
In the broadcast.
Good.
Of what a godly mother should look like.
Amen.
And I certainly hope that this will be an encouragement for
Amen.
Those who are listening.
Amen. I believe we have Brett on the line. Brett, go with your question or comment, please.
Hi. How are you all today?
Doing good. I hope you are.
I'm fine. Yes. I'd like to give a shout out for, you know, those mothers who, for whatever reason, gave up their children for adoption instead of going the other route. Because, as you know, I was adopted. And I guess I'd like to, I don't know if she's listening, but I would like to thank whoever my birth mother was who gave me up for adoption and gave me life.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And,
that's good testimony.
And so that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, Brett, thank you so much for that call. There are a lot of people listening, Brett, that probably fit in that same category and can look back and say thank you, thank you, thank you to a birth mother that was willing to take a stand and say, I'm not going to take this child's life. I'm going to give life and then allow someone to raise that son or daughter. And I'm thankful for mothers like that. There are a lot of people listening today, Brett, also, that may like to share a word of testimony in that vein that I believe would be a blessing and encouragement and a challenge to multitudes listening today. So, Brett, thank you so much for that call, for that testimony of your love for your birth mother and her love for you enough that she gave you life and allowed someone to raise you as a son in the family. Thank
Amen.
You so
Amen.
Much for that.
Amen. You know, that's a great thing, you know, and thank, you know, Brother Brett for what he just got finished saying,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that's still another positive outlook that
yes.
we're talking about on today.
Yes.
I have a friend in Folkestone right now. I call her my, amen, sister, big sister in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I have adopted her as my sister family. And I'm just so thankful for her because she has such a big heart. She doesn't have any children that she birthed into the world. But Dr. Youngblood, for the last, I would say, at least 20 years that I know of her living on the planet, she has helped to raise so many adopted children of all races,
Amen.
Black and white.
Amen.
That's a mother's heart. I mean, true love.
Amen.
To be able to raise kids that are not yours by birth.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, like Brother Brett just got finished saying, that really shows the heart of a mother.
Amen.
And we thank God for those type of people on today who have that kind of heart to, like you say, raise the adopted children so that they won't go without a mother, without a parent in the home.
Amen.
Because this is the reason why this country is going in the direction
yes,
it's going
is.
Today. The mother and father, sometimes in some cases, both of them are absent. And the kids have to raise themselves.
Raise themselves. And that's the reason we find so many in the juvenile courts today.
Amen.
And so forth.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, you can ask any child, regardless of his or her age, and they'll tell you that the greatest influence in their lives has come from their mothers. It's the moms, many times, more often than dads, that will share the truths of the Word of God and that will shape the direction of that son or daughter. Pastor, I remember with my mother, she raised the children without a dad because of my dad passing away at such an early age. She would work 90 hours a week, 90 hours a week. Wasn't any such thing as a 40-hour work week then. She'd work 90 hours a week at the McCormick Spinning Mill in McCormick, South Carolina, and she would work those 90 hours, and the take-home pay was about $40 a week. Take-home pay. About $40 a week. And it was on that she paid the bills, raised the family, and I saw tenacity where she would stick to it and keep on keeping on. And I believe it's as a result of that tenacity of keeping on, believing that God had a plan, that God would meet and God would make a way that influenced my life in all of these years to never give up, but to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Serving the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to be right back right after the news. We're going to continue our conversation today. Who is a mother? What does the Bible say about godly mothers? And invite you to call in and share your testimony of the influence of mom in your life.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The stroke of midnight brought the end of the COVID-era health restrictions that allowed for the quick deportation of illegal immigrants. A federal judge has put a temporary hold on a Biden administration order to start releasing migrants into the country without a court date for an immigration hearing. The judge's ruling in response to a lawsuit filed by Florida. A comprehensive border security bill has cleared the Republican-led House. It is expected to die in the Democrat-controlled Senate. Among other things, a Republican bill calls for a resumption of work on the border wall. Manhattan prosecutors pursuing a case against a 24-year-old Marine Corps veteran who used a chokehold to restrain a disruptive passenger on a New York City subway train. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow is up 18 points, the Nasdaq down 34. This is SRN News.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about who is a godly mother. Who is the mother? Godly mother, when we look at the biblical text in relationship to that. I'm looking at an article written by an individual. It says, what does it mean to be a godly mother? This article reads in part, godly mothers are first godly women. They're not one way at home and another way in the public. Even when our children do not have a godly father, a mother can have a great impact on her children's spiritual future if she knows God, if she has a relationship to Jesus Christ. This article further states, a godly mother wants her children to be godly, and she leads the way in doing so. Listen to this. A mother cannot pass on to her children values and qualities that she does not possess herself. So the first step in becoming a godly mother is surrendering to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life personally. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear your brief testimonial. What does mother mean to you? What do you recall that your mother influenced in your life that's caused you to be where you are today? Would love to hear from you. I'm here with Pastor Davis today, and we're talking about that. Pastor Davis, you said you've got some thoughts in relationship to godly mothers. Share at least one of those with us now.
Amen. Well, the one thing I looked at, Dr. Youngblood, some information that I just sat down and just quickly put together. I mean, a lot of this is, you know, it's a great thing when you don't have to make things up.
That's right.
About a person, mm-hmm. You know, especially when you know godly mothers and the role that they played, mm-hmm. You know, in your life, you know, how they might have impacted something to put a positive spin, you know, in your life to where maybe once you were going astray, but now you're walking in the right path. Amen. Because of that person.
Amen.
And it's a great thing, you know, to be able to do that. But the number one thing I looked at was a godly mother seeks to stay grounded in her identity. She steps into what God says she is to do mm-hmm. because of who she is.
That's right.
And if we go to Psalm number 60, verses 4 through 5, it tells us there that God has given us a banner to everyone that fears him so that it may be displayed because of the truth, that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and hear me. This is the words of that psalm. Mm-hmm. So listen, when we lift God up wherever we go, especially godly mothers,
right,
and you come into times of difficulty, God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge that you need in order to be able to hold the family together.
Yes.
You know, I thought about the time that for a period of time, my father left us for a little while. But, you know, back in the day, they didn't believe in divorces.
Right.
No matter what the situation was, you know, it was always or whenever the situation, you know, came to where they could sit down and talk things over, they came back together because they wanted to keep the family together. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what a good mother should do.
Right.
Because this is what God put her there for. He didn't put her there to be over the husband, but he put her there to be a complement to the husband.
Yes.
Especially if he's a godly man mm-hmm. and she's a godly woman, they will be able to lead the family in the right direction in the way that God will have them to go, so that whenever the family goes out into society and other people see how great that family is being blessed, they want to be just like that family.
Yes. It's setting the pattern, setting the example that others can see
Amen.
And impact the lives of others.
Amen.
Pastor, one of the things that I've done in my study over the years about motherhood in the scripture, and I've preached this from the pulpit many, many times over the years, less than 100 years now, but I preached it on the basis of you find in the scripture four different kinds of mothers, four different kinds of mothers. And I find it fascinating when you analyze it on that basis. One of them is the wicked mother's influence for godlessness. In fact, time won't allow us to get into the text, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 1 through 4, we see the mother, the wicked mother, Athaliah. Athaliah was the daughter of King Ahab, followed in her own father's steps of being evil and wicked. And Athaliah's mother was Jezebel. And I've said down through the years, you don't find parents today, when a baby girl is born, say, let's name her Jezebel.
That's just, I don't think I know one.
that's just a simple fact that you don't find parents naming kids Jezebel today.
Amen.
But
Amen.
Jezebel was her mother. That's talking about Athaliah in 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Athaliah was the wicked mother. Her dad was King Ahab. Her mother was Jezebel. It was Athaliah that brought Baal worship into Judah. It was Athaliah that had all of the heirs to the throne slain so that she could ascend to the throne. She hated God, and that left a ungodly influence on Athaliah's son, Ahaziah. He was maturing in years, and during those, can you imagine teaching that son based on bringing Baal worship into Judah, based on her dad being Ahab and her mother Jezebel? Can you imagine what that mother would have taught the young son, Ahaziah? That's Ahaziah. Could say, well, son, you don't need God. You're strong enough. You can do it yourself. Son, you don't need God. That's just simply a sissy boy's way of doing things, as you put it in the vernacular today.
Amen.
Can you imagine some of the things that she influenced him with because of being a wicked mother? And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we find a wise mother's influence for goodness. That's Eunice. Eunice is Timothy's mother. Eunice followed her mother's mother and her footsteps in loving the Lord and training young Timothy. In fact, in Acts 16:1, it is the reminder that Eunice was a Jewish girl that said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And it is wonderful when you can understand, ladies and gentlemen, the different types of mothers and make a choice and decision. I want to be a godly mother. I want my sons and my daughters to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, and surrender their lives. What are your thoughts, Pastor Davis?
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, again, speaking, you know, on the context of the godly mothers,
mm-hmm.
This should never be absent in a home.
That's right.
You know, the word of God should be taught day and night. And I believe that's the reason why we see that in the book of Exodus,
mm-hmm.
the way that God commanded Moses to tell the children of Israel, teach the children,
mm-hmm.
teach them. When he went to Deuteronomy, he gave it to them the second time.
That's right.
And he said, teach the children,
day
Deuteronomy chapter 6.
That's right.
When they lay down, when they rise up, when they mm-hmm. walk by the wayside, write it on the doorpost of the house, on the fence, even between the frontlets of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always have the word of God right there present.
Absolutely.
Because that's the only thing that will keep you in unity and harmony in the home and in fellowship with God.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. It's a dangerous thing when we step outside of fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so great to have that godly mother if you don't have that father. But if you got that godly mother right there to keep you rooted and grounded in the word of God, I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely.
Amen.
It was my mother, ladies and gentlemen, that, as I said earlier, my dad passed away when I was just a youngster. And very little I remember of him other than what my mother would say. But it's my mother that would have the Bible reading with us at night. It was my mother that would pray with us. It was my mother that focused us on spiritual things.
Amen.
It was my mother, even when we did not have this, most folks don't understand this today. We didn't have an automobile in the family for many, many, many years. But it was my mother that would see that others in the community would come by and pick us up and take us to worship
Amen.
Service and Sunday school. I've said jokingly and yet seriously, during my maturing years, I was introduced about every denomination out there, because if it was a neighbor, a friend, or a relative, anybody down the street, around the road, or down the next corner, whatever church they were going to is where they would take us. I had grown up under that influence of being in church after church after church when my mother saw that we were in church. And it was that influence, I believe, only God knows where I would be today had it not been for the influence of my mother in my life and the life of my brother and sisters. I don't know where we'd be, where I would be today, had it not been for that influence and training that at an early age I came to know Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
Because the influence of a godly mother. And that's what you find with Timothy's mother. In 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, that is, chapter 1 and verse 5, the scripture says this. The Apostle Paul speaking said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith," that unfeigned means whole, full, not hypocritical, not partial faith, but unfeigned faith that is in thee, speaking of Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in you also. In other words, it is an heritage that's handed down of that faith factor that a child is brought to faith in Jesus Christ, that a child is introduced at an early age to Scripture. A child is introduced at an early age to serve the Lord and to learn the Word and to memorize the Word and to inculcate the Word in our lives. I'm looking at an article. The title of the article, Pastor, says, "The Role of a Mother According to the Bible." This writer says, according to the Bible, the role of a mother is to love and to care for her children. She is to teach and train them, nurture them, discipline them. A godly mother is the model godly living for her children and take care of her home. She is also to care for and help her husband. While motherhood often feels like a thankless job, God places high value on the role of mother. As mothers, this is the lady writing the article, as mothers, we have a significant role in the lives of our children. Our influence and care allow our children to thrive. We also teach and train our children in the ways of the Lord along with our husbands. And then she goes into a great detail, a whole litany of biblical text in relationship to it. She further states the characteristics of a godly mother. What are some characteristics of a good mother? Bible verses memorized, Bible verses taught, Bible verses about women, wives, husbands, mothers, etc., etc. And she then started outlining it. I'll just give a couple of them, Pastor. Number one, she says, a good mother will keep Christ first. Secondly, a good mother will submit to her husband. Third, a good mother will love, teach, and train and discipline her children in the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor,
amen.
What else do you have to share with us about a biblical mother?
Well, two other things here that I have, Dr. Youngblood, is pretty close to what you've already said. Mm-hmm. Amen. I had on here, a godly mother leans on God's word.
Yes.
In other words, amen, I believe I told you about the testimony, amen, of, amen, the great mother Everett, a spiritual mm-hmm. mother,
yes.
amen, that's now in heaven with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That made a great impact on my life.
Yes.
Through her testimony, Dr. Youngblood, even in her later days before she went to heaven, she became a cripple, but she did not let that stop her from pressing her way to the house of God.
Amen.
And whenever she met somebody, whoever she met, whenever she met, she always displayed such a great love mm-hmm. for a person. She was just a people person, you know, in general. And I just thank God for her and for, amen, Pastor Rubidell Peterson and, you know, some of the other great ones, amen, that were just, like I said, made a great impact. Their handprints are on my life today.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the impact that they made on my life when I came to Christ in 1985, I believe, amen, by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Amen.
Because I look at, amen, the way that they lived and the service that they gave. And Dr. Youngblood, that was such a great motivation for me until, you know, I began to take pages out of their book. In other words, I applied the principles, amen, that they used in their lives to my life. And now I know that I'm able to walk in a way that's pleasing to God.
Amen.
So I thank God for them. And this amen. Is what it's all about on today. Amen. A very godly mother. Amen. A amen. Pattern to follow, to live by.
Yes. Christianity is not a hand-me-down religion.
Amen.
But Christianity lived out in the home impacts and influences the life of those children in the home that has eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. For example, Pastor, another biblical mother is what I call a watchful mother that influences that child for greatness. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1 through 9 is a very, very good text on that. And let me just refresh our listeners with those verses. Proverbs 31, the first 9 verses. It talks about King Lemuel, L-E-M-U-E-L. King Lemuel, Lemuel is another name for King Solomon. His mother in this text was Bathsheba. And we all recall the fact that Bathsheba was Uriah's wife that David seduced. And after Uriah was murdered, David took her as his wife. Solomon is their son. It was Solomon's mother that taught him to apply wise counsel. It was his mother that taught him not to drink. Proverbs 31, verse 4 and 5. It was his mother that taught him to shun immorality. Proverbs 31, verse 3. It was his mother that taught him to defend others. Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9. And you see the life of Solomon, of what God has given us through the writings, the words of Solomon. And it was the mother, the one that was a watchful mother, that gave Solomon, provided that influence and that wise counsel in his life. And Pastor, I'm always so thankful to see mothers that will give that wise counsel to sons and daughters. I'm thankful to have 4 sons. And with those 4 sons, to see the grandsons and daughters and how that influence in our home with those 4 sons, because with our 4 sons is not one that can tell you, but what there was an opportunity for us to be in Sunday school worship service every Sunday. And from our 4 sons, from 9 months before they were born, they were in Sunday school and worship service. It's as a result of the mother in our home.
Amen.
My wife, the godly mother, that influenced and impacted their lives. It was my wife, their mother, that would admonish them through scripture as to how they should treat each other. And it was at an early age that each of the 4 said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And as a result of that influence at home through mother and daddy, it was that influence that brought them up so that they then are now impacting their sons and their daughters with the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the mother's responsibility to train that child as well as the dad. And I go back to the Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go. when he will have become old, he will not have departed from it, is the transliteration of Proverbs 22:6. So a wise mother, a watchful mother, a mother that will be number one, the model in the home for that child, for that son or daughter. I have for years called my wife the Ms. Far Above Rubies, wife Amen. And mother in Amen. The scripture. And I believe that is what every wife, every mother needs to strive for, is being that Ms. Far Above Rubies mother, wife in the home. That's Proverbs 31. Your leisure, ladies and gentlemen, read that, the entire chapter. Let that be the example to set before you for future living and serving the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you have a brief word of testimony about your mother? What can you say about mom? What can you say about grandma? What can you say about that mother in your home and family as to the influence they've had on your life? Pastor Davis, what else do you have to say in relationship to a biblical, godly mother?
Well, let me put a little twist on this right here, because a thought just came to me, Dr. Youngblood. I have to wonder in today's world, why do some women want to be men?
Mm-hmm.
And our government is telling them it's okay.
That's right.
You know, they're signing legislation even right now as That's we right. speak
mm-hmm.
to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gender, transgender, you know, gender changes and, you know, operations and surgeries mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. If they will only get the picture of how great a duty and responsibility they already have. I wouldn't cut them down in any way, because we do have some that think that they ought to be equal with men.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at the creation, how God created a man and a woman, he created the man to be the head of the woman.
That's right, the head of the home.
But the woman is to be submissive, as we're saying. Mm-hmm. That means to volunteer to place yourself under his authority.
Right.
Now, a lot of other things go along with that, and we don't have time to go through all of that today on the broadcast.
Right.
But I'm trying to outline the great duty and responsibility you already have as a woman before you have kids, you know, in a marriage,
mm-hmm.
to first your husband, and then after you have kids, to walk in the Word of God and become this godly woman that we're
right.
talking about
mm-hmm.
on today. There's a whole lot of stuff. There's a plethora of stuff that goes along
right.
with that. So guess what? Your attention should not be elsewhere. It should be focused towards being this godly mother the way that God has prescribed it in his Word.
In the home, in the family, through the Word of God.
Amen.
We have John on the line. John, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on my mother for Mother's Day. She's been gone since 1992, but there's probably not a day that goes by that I don't think about her and the godly
Amen.
Influence that she left with her seven children and my dad, who did not know the Lord, but who ended up coming to Jesus shortly after my mother passed away. I just wanted to mention that. All of her children know Jesus now, except for one, and we're praying for her. But my mother wasn't perfect, but she did her best and always tried to have us in church. And it came back for all the children except for one so far.
Amen. It's a wonderful testimony, John. Thank you for that. In fact, you're saying your mother wasn't perfect. You know, when you were growing up, when I was growing up, we can look back now and realize that moms were not perfect. But at the time we were growing up, we thought they were. Because
yeah.
the godly mother would keep us in line with what God's Word says. And we thought that they were perfect. In fact, John, our boys grew up thinking that my wife could hear from another room, that she could, somebody, one of the kids could be playing with a match or something. She would say, "Who struck a match?" She could hear something, and she would admonish them based on the scripture. And so I'm sure our boys grew up thinking mom was perfect. They look back now and see that mom is not perfect, but that influence was the perfect godly influence, and that's the key to it, John. Thank you so much for your call and for that brief word of testimony.
You're welcome, sir, and I love your broadcast.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. Thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a few more minutes left on the broadcast. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Pastor, there's another category of motherhood in the Bible. It's the willful mother's influence for godliness, In fact, her name is Hannah. A wonderful study in 1 Samuel chapter 1,
Amen.
Verses
Amen.
9 through 18. Hannah was committed to God. Chapter 1 in 1 Samuel, verse 1 through 8, talks about her faithfulness, her commitment to God. Hannah was a woman that was committed to God, but she didn't have a child. And she was committed to God, so she'd pray and pray and pray and ask God to give her a child. And her commitment to God was, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll raise him up and give him back to you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, especially if you're a mother listening, listen to this very carefully. At your leisure, read that text in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Hannah was committed. She had committed her life to God. She believed that God was able to provide and meet the need. She believed that God was able to answer her prayer to provide a son. God did. And she had told God in her prayer, and I'm going to paraphrase, God, if you'll give me a child, if you'll give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you. And ladies and gentlemen, in chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, you find that Hannah had a son. His name was Samuel. Hannah had a son, and Samuel, when he was about 3 years old, Hannah took him back to the temple, gave him, surrendered, left him there at the temple to be a person of God and ultimately a man of God. In fact, in that text, Pastor, if you will take time to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, drop down then in that entire chapter and read for our listeners verse 26, 27, and 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, I believe is the key. Hannah committed her son to God. Samuel was committed to God by the mother because the mother was committed to God, made a commitment to God, and then when God answered her prayer, provided her with the son, she gave him back, committed him back to the Lord.
Amen.
Read that text, Pastor, and then I've got some wrap-up thoughts.
Amen. And verse 26 says, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there.
Amen. Pastor, there's a good lesson here that I believe we need to wrap up on. Moms and dads, we have the responsibility of training a child. Moms and dads, we have the responsibility of training him up the way that God would have him to go. And while that child is being trained at home, there comes a time that we need to release that child. We've done all the input. We've done all of the praying. We've done all of the preparation. We have led that child to faith in Jesus Christ through the Word of God. But then there's a time when we need to release that child to the Lord and say, God, I can't, but you can. Simply saying, Lord, he is yours. I've followed you. I've been obedient to you. I've followed your plan through the scripture and training that child. But now I'm going to release this son, this daughter to you.
Amen.
That they might be answerable and responsible to you. Pastor, we've got about 40 seconds. Share with our listeners a wrap-up thought about motherhood and about celebrating Mother's Day and what we need to recognize.
Well, first, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are listening on today. And I do want to speak a word of encouragement into your life as a godly mother. If you don't know Christ, get him.
Yes.
That's the number one thing.
Number one.
But if you are a godly mother, I do want to say to you, there will be times that you might have to say no to one thing so that you can say yes to God.
Absolutely.
So listen, let the Lord lead you wherever you go, whatever you got to do, so that you can be that shining example to the rest of the young ladies that are growing up, that they may be good mothers likewise and raise up families, amen, that will fear God.
Titus chapter 1 says that.
Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM.